Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders. Listen as they identify factors that drive innovation and measure significant business results. Be inspired and influenced by their insights and outcomes. Hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC.
Well, welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. I'm your host, Fran McNeil, and joining me in the virtual studio is my guest, Gene Furlish of Clothe My Soul. Gene, welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. How are you, Stevie?
I'm good, Fran. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. And the audience doesn't know that we just had a delightful conversation. So I'm so excited to sort of bring them in the studio to learn more about you and your passion and your business and the significant story behind you getting started. So let's start there, Gene, because you really have a very fascinating story about what got you to the point of starting your own business.
Okay. You want me to start with that, where I started?
Absolutely.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, well, start with that.
As I was telling you before, I had a nice career as a store designer in New York City. I just loved it. It was very creative and had a good community of people that knew me as being, I guess you'd say, one of the creative types in the field. And I was in that field for about 30 years, doing branding and imaging and store planning, all kinds of things related to the retail environment. In 2008, I was let go. And I think I was a little tired of it, tired of what I had been doing for so long anyway. And I was happy to be sort of let free to do my own creative thing. I wanted to do something that came from my heart. It was a little more heart-centered or more soulful, I guess you'd say, than working for corporations. So I start to look in my background to see what I had loved as a child. And I had loved embroidery, hand embroidery. So I started doing some hand embroideries. Something about drawing with thread was fascinating to me. But hand embroidery is very slow.
That's right.
So,
it takes a lot of time.
It does. So, and I was always thinking in the back of my mind, I want to do a business, and I couldn't really see how that would work out. Serendipitously, I went into a sewing shop in Long Island and found this home embroidery machine, and I saw what it could do. Somebody was demonstrating it, and I went completely out of my mind. I was just crazy. It was like an instant, oh, my God, because I found out that through using a computer and digitizing, you can actually transfer an original drawing that you've done into your computer and then to the embroidery machine, and it'll stitch out what you've drawn. And there's just incredible magic in that. So that's how it all started. I got my first home machine and started working on that thing. night and day, trying to get good at the skill and, so I could produce things of some meaning. So that's how it started.
Wow, what a wonderful story. And I love that phrase, embroidery is like drawing with thread or drawing in thread or painting in thread. That's really, it's so visual. And your business and your passion is all about the visual. So at what point did this passion and practice move from being a hobby to at least start to be a business? It moved from sort of your home to being in front of other people.
There's the artist dilemma. People who produce art they sort of squirrel away and do the work, and that can't stay that way if you want it to be a business, you know. So I had to get it out there, and I remember the first time I signed up for a street fair near my home at the time in Fort Greene, and you know, to buy a tent and get out there and put out my stuff to see if anybody liked it. I didn't know, and I was petrified, because I wanted it to happen so badly. I think that's why I was so scared. Please, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I did. I set up a tent in this little fair in the park, and I got great response. I got great response. People saw what I was doing. They could see the detail in what I was doing, and little by little, it warmed me up, and I started to understand that, you know, if I wanted to do these as a business, it meant that, you know, the customer was you know, half of what this was all about. Had to be in response to what they were saying to me, and that they understood what I was trying to do. In the beginning, I did a lot of embroideries that were very expressive about my family life. I had one about my daughter and what it was like raising her through her teenage years, which she can't stand, by the way. But anyway, I put a lot of those things into embroideries so that I could talk to people about my experience as a mom with her, and I express those experiences visually in these little embroideries, and I just connected with people through that. And I would spend hours talking to people about things about my family life, and vis-a-vis those conversations would sell the product. And that's probably the epitome of it to me, because it's really my expressing something from my heart, which resulted in the sale, ultimately, and a relationship.
And I was just going to say, you mentioned heart-centered before, and as a business coach, I often say to folks, business is about the three R's, and the first is relationships, and as a result of the relationships, then you get the revenues. So intuitively, you understood that. And I think that's one of the great equalizers of entrepreneurship, particularly when people are doing something that they're passionate about. They figure it out. So you went from street fairs, and where, you know, how does your business progress? You're developing relationships.
I'm sorry, I didn't let you finish your question.
No, go ahead. How do they progress?
Well, there's sort of a hierarchy of street fairs in New York anyway, different levels. You know, the better ones you have to apply to get into. And each step seems huge. Now, looking back, it's kind of amazing anyway. So I did that. I started to get into better and better fairs. And, you know, I think the best one in the city is in Lincoln Center. And there I started to meet customers that are more my customer base. And I also met the woman who runs the shop at the American Folk Art Museum, who's a great customer of mine and a mentor, I might add. She really liked what I was doing, and she's given me some tips and, you know, helped me out along the way. So she comes and sees me wherever I am, which is kind of nice, you know, and she knows the business. Anyway, so I did those, and then I finally applied for my first trade show, which was in Washington or Philadelphia, the first one. And then that, too, has a hierarchy. There, I would say the best one in the country is in New York, and that's the one I'm in now. I've done several of them, so that's the one I kind of focus on.
Wow!
Yeah,
congratulations! Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it's the best one of all the ones I've done. I did one in San Francisco, and Maryland, and I haven't done all of them, but so far, it's the best.
Mm-hmm.
You meet the most people there, is what I'm trying to say. That's the biggest draw.
And,
yeah.
Right. So, given that trade shows are a big part of letting the public and your targeted customer see you, how do you use social media, and where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, well, from the very beginning of this whole process, I had a website. Of course, the website has evolved. I mean, it has to be redone every 6 months or so. I'm behind right now. Mm. But I was taught how to use Instagram, and for me, as a visual artist, that's the perfect social media tool, because it's very quick. I can take an image of whatever I'm working on, and in Instagram, it has its own followers that just come from, you know, Instagram Air or something like that. Anyway, people find you because you learn about hashtags and how to denote your entry so that, you know, different people will type those things in and find you. And slowly you develop a following on there. It's very cool. And then you can also send it to Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is, you know, my own community of people that I know, past and present, that know me and follow me as well. And they get to see the newest piece I've just finished, which doesn't necessarily get onto my website because I don't have time to constantly update it. I will be, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot. So Instagram is, you know, it's instant. It's easy, and you send it all over to all your different. So if anybody wants to see what I do, my handle at Instagram is Clothe My Soul.
Clothe My Soul, and that's Clothe My Soul, Soul.
Yeah.
Jean, share with me, how did you come up with the name of your business?
Good question. It's very personal. I think it was in that early part of this process where I really wanted it to be something that was deeper for me. And I had come out of a time when I was sort of a New York City gal about town, working in the city, and very interested in fashion and all that kind of stuff. And then I kind of grew up and grew out of it. And I guess something along the lines of clothing the inner part of me was more meaningful than the outside clothing. Something along those lines. That's all I can tell you.
Wow, very, very... Yeah,
it's
deep.
Sure. It's
very,
deep.
Very powerful.
Too deep.
Well, when I look at your design, no, not too deep. When I look at your designs on the website and Instagram, they are expressed in a variety of formats.
Mm-hmm.
So was your original intention to start with clothing? I now see pillows. And
that's a good question.
Where do you start? Mm-hmm.
I had always had a passion for clothing, you know, designing and making clothes. And in the beginning, I did a lot of that. But I was daunted by the clothing, by producing clothing. I don't know the field. I was doing embroideries and applying them to clothes, and you know, it was a very creative outlet for me, but it's harder. I needed to get down to the visual that I could manage, which ended up being primarily an 8x8 inch square, because it's manageable in terms of size on the embroidery machine. And I'm really familiar now with the stitch count that goes into my designs, which relates to if I were to get these made elsewhere. I have two commercial machines of my own now, so I produce my own embroideries. But I use an industry standard to kind of gauge the cost. And so, you know, the process I went through was to eliminate too much and get down to the essence. And I still could eliminate even more, but I don't want to. And I did a lot of trial and error and a lot of talking to people in the garment center and garment business and having samples made. And I have a whole box in my closet here of this dress that I made that was, had photographed on a model and whatnot. But it was too hard for me. I couldn't get my head around it. It wasn't really the embroidery itself and the simplicity of the embroidery itself as a form is enough. So to apply it to too many things is where I was getting into trouble, you know, because it became unmanageable. So now what I do is I stitch some small embroideries onto cards. I sew them right onto the cards. And those sell well. I do small embroideries of flowers, and I sign them all. And I do small pillows and framed embroideries at the moment. So
it sounds like you've evolved not only as an artist, but also as a businesswoman in terms of really mastering that art of the relationship with the customer, of marketing, but also the efficiencies of business and being effective. Which really leads me into a question. Now that you've been in business a while, what's a significant story of a client that you're really, you know, that you can share and you're kind of proud of?
Okay. I have two. You just want one?
You can two if they're quick. One if it's a little longer. Your choice.
Okay. No, I was telling you before that in some of these trade shows, in all of the trade shows, you get to meet people from all over the country. It's fascinating. You know, they're just beautiful, beautiful museums and shops and all kinds of venues all over the country. Anyway, I had done a couple of shows of one type, and the second time I did it, I met a young man who was a potter, and he has a gallery up north of Green Bay in Michigan, which I'd never heard of. It's called Plum Bottom, a little town there that's apparently an artist community. And they get a very, very busy season, so he ordered a bunch of things, and he asked me to mat them, and I don't present them as matting, so I matted them. Boy, I hate matting. It's really hard. I mean, I'm still at the point where I'm doing a lot of it, which is, you know, ever hear of handmade hell? but he's when you have a good relationship with a client like that, they like your stuff so much, you know, you can tell them where you're kind of struggling and they'll work with you, which is nice. So he called me up a couple of weeks ago and said all the things I had originally sent him had walked out the door, and I was just I was thrilled. That's so great. So he made another big order. You know, of course, I knocked myself out to get them out to him. So, you know, you never know. Plum Bottom, Michigan, who knew? I didn't know they even existed.
Yeah.
And here they love my stuff. I just think that's crazy. That's cool. Yeah.
It is cool. From adversity to having the chance to explore on your own to creating and meeting people, it really is quite wonderful. I'm now going to ask you for a favorite quote or quotes that motivate you, either when you're kind of really jazzed or maybe when you're feeling a little stuck. What would one of those be? Mm-hmm.
Well, I have two, again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The first one I can't attribute to anyone. It's just a quote that I love, and it's kind of an overarching one. It's just says, the world belongs to optimists. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I'm sorry, I don't know who said it. And the second one, mm-hmm. Is one that's in this little book called The Little Red Book of Selling by Jeffrey Gittimer. I think I'm pronouncing his name right. Inside the front cover, it says, the secret to climbing up is to put your heart into your work. I really... sometimes I think my heart is controlling things too much, you know, and then I read that, I'm like, okay, I'm not too much of a, you know. Yeah, you know, it's tricky to keep your heart in your work all the time when you're doing, mm-hmm. you know, it's sometimes it feels like you're a little out there, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's the only way I can do
and
it
yet,
now.
That's part of your gift to the world is sharing your creativity, and it's worked well for you so far by getting feedback and producing more.
Yeah.
So now that you've been an entrepreneur and you're continuing to grow as an entrepreneur, what advice would you share with another entrepreneur? As they look to achieve significant business results?
Well, I think that it's probably because I was insecure about what I was doing in the beginning is why I covered so many different categories and threw it all out there because I wasn't sure, you know, which thing would bite or which direction I really wanted to go in. And I had to get feedback from customers. And when I first did my first booth, I had jackets and dresses and pillows, and I had all kinds of things that you could put embroideries on and bags, and I even made some silk ties. And I think people would say to me, you know, it's too much. And I would say, huh? I couldn't understand that, but I understand it now. So maybe it would help somebody to know that it's not the easiest thing to do, or maybe not the best thing to do a lot of product like that, even if it's unified by the embroidery technique. It was very difficult to do that because each type of product had its own development that it needed to be followed through on. So it's very hard to do that, and it exhausted me at times. But I wanted to be sure I was focused on exactly what I really wanted to end up with. So it's taken me a while to eliminate things, I guess. And I don't recommend that to most people. Start small and then add, which is what everybody said to me. I always do things the hard way.
Experience things.
Yeah.
Right. I often share with people, focus your energy for action. You know, pick one thing, and people scowl at me. And eventually they're like, oh, I get it. There's limited time. And I'm like, yes, sleep is an important part of growing your business.
Yes, it's true. I don't know what to say. It's just, I had to go through, I guess,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you need stamina. That's for sure. And
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, and passion. You need a lot of things. But
Ian,
it's really been a pleasure talking with you. I want to make sure, again, that you share where people can find you, because I know that they'll be interested in connecting with you on social media, as well as there may be some folks that are really ready to check out your website or your Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All of them are under Clothe My Soul. That's the handle for Instagram and for Facebook. And my website is www.clothemysoul.com, although a bit needs updating.
No problem.
Yeah. So if you Google it, it'll come up under that.
It'll all come up. And again, it's Clothe, Clothe, My, Foul.
Yep.
Jean Furlish, Ferlesch. Jean, mm-hmm. It's been wonderful, absolutely wonderful having you on the show. Have a great time in August at New York Now.
Oh, thank you.
The big trade show. Yeah.
Thank you.
This is wonderful.
Oh, Fran, yeah. You made it easy. So, you're a good interviewer.
Oh, good. Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to hear from folks that are very passionate about what they do, and you certainly fit that description. So
oh,
I appreciate
so
you having the courage and energy to come on the show. And again, thank you so much. So have a great evening and a great rest of the week.
Thanks, Fran.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
So, folks, there you have it. Bye. Significant stories from significant entrepreneurs. Join us as we continue to explore the world of entrepreneurship.
Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders, hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC. Follow Significant Business Results Radio on blogtalkradio.com/significantbusinessresults.